Okay, so second introductory topic before we get into the heart of the Masechta. So we talked about, let's summarize quickly, right? What do we said, the last 2 days we dealt with the theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah. We noted that the Rambam seems to argue that the theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah is basically it's an extension of the judicial laws that we find in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin talks about adjudicating laws, about how we put people to death, how you deal with it in terms of court cases. And then Avodah Zarah gives specifics because you need to know about Avodah Zarah. You need to know what counts as Avodah Zarah. Well, that was like 30 seconds you last. Come on. You know, you could just get up and do like 50. I told them before,
just
15 jumping jacks.
Push-ups, man.
Jumping jacks, whatever, because the blood will get flowing.
All right, I'm going. That's not true.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, not important.
It will go up.
What?
Spike for maybe 2 minutes, and then it'll just go lower than it was before.
Okay, anyways, not a point.
Creating the illusion.
Anyways. So the Rambam thinks that Avodah Zarah is an extension conceptually of Sanhedrin. We noted, though, that if you look through the Masechta, you skim the Masechta, that seems to be an incomplete description of the Masechta, because the majority of the Masechta has very little to do with Avodah Zarah itself. Okay. It has to do with the difference in Jews and non-Jews, how we maintain those differences, some laws of kashrus, chilas kalim, kashering kalim, yayin esech, right, wine from that was owned by a non-Jew or produced by a non-Jew or was libation, right, whether we're talking about yayin esech or sam yenam, and the like. And for that reason, we noted, yeah.
Can you use wine as libation?
Yes.
So it's wine, blood, olive oil, oil in general, what else?
Well, in the Mizbeach, they're different, right? There's wine libations. There's blood isn't really libation, it's sprinkled, but fine, water is a libation on Sukkot.
So it's like any liquid.
No, not any.
Liquid that might have like a whole.
The only liquids that'll ever get to the mizbeach are blood, water, milk, blood, water, oil, and wine. Right. Those. That's it.
Why not like something like milk?
No. There's no carbon like that.
Honey.
No. That's a pasuk. No honey. No honey. Specifically, no honey. What? What doesn't make it? Yeah, without getting into all the details, but those are the things that, okay, in the area. Fine. So we argued, and Meiri seems to point in this direction, that the theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah is really the difference between Jews and non-Jews and how we maintain those differences, legally and hashkafically, whether we're talking about the halachic parts of the Masechta or the Agadata. So I thought, that once we're talking about that, the second introduction that's really necessary is that we do need to, as the Rambam already noted, we do need to take a bit of an excursus into Sanhedrin and talk about the prohibition of Avodah Zarah itself before we get to Masechta Avodah Zarah, which deals with the ways in which we avoid it. Yeah.
I don't know if it was in the Gemara, it was in the source sheets, but I remember we were reading it and talked about if you serve an idol, that guilt would pass on for 4 generations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hold it.
Good. You are right that the simple read of the pasuk is that pasuk is that yes, God punishes multiple generations. Other pasukim indicate that that's not true, right? Lo yimtzu avos al banim. And yes, Chazal try to figure it out, right? Does that mean that there is no punishment? Does it? Right, Chazal's interpretation that Rashi quotes it is that if children follow the evil ways of their parents, so then they'll be punished in a compounded fashion. But if they don't follow the sins of their parents, then they won't be punished, right? So it's a sort of a middle position, right? You can be punished for your parents' sins if you are engaged in them, right? Then it'll be a compounded problem. We're not going to get into that yet. We're not going to get into that. Right, that's classic Tinuk Shanishba and modern Tinuk Shanishba. We're not going to get into that. Okay? Right, classic Sugya, Shabbos Tav Samachet. Modern Sugya begins with Binyan Sion, Shuvah Chadasha, Tshuvah Chav Gimel by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. That, I'll say this a lot during the year. That can be a year for another time. I'm happy to do all these topics, but each of them is complicated. Okay. But we got to go for a minute to Sanhedrin, okay? So I know not all of you went to the sources, so let's work through this a little bit. Now, the central idea that I'm going to talk about today, though at the end I'm going to move a little bit from this, I heard from Mori Verabi, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal. If you haven't gotten that already, I'll do it now, right? I mentioned this already. I went to Gush, and I had the privilege of being in Rilchonsin's shir. You know Rilchonsin was? Yes? No? Yes? Good. So I was in his shir my first year in Gush, my second year in Gush, and then my 2 years in the Kollel, until he passed away. My second son is named for him. So this was a shir I heard from Lichtenstein in 2000, and it was like between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur 11 years ago, I think.
He was the biggest rabbi in the past, like most important besides the Maimonides.
He was definitely one of the most influential rabbis within the modern Orthodox Dati Lumi world, right? We can try ranking people, but he was a Talmud Chacham par excellence. He was a gadol, a leader. It was a privilege to learn. Okay. But this idea is mostly from him. So what I want to try to do is figure out what is Avodah Zarah and why is it Asur? Okay? Now that seems like an obvious question, right? Why is Avodah Zarah Asur? Or what is Avodah Zarah?
One of the Ten Commandments.
That's great. That's saying that it is Asur. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's Asur and it was right up there, right at the beginning. But why is it Asur? Wait, what? Well,
so
we got to be careful here, right? Because we really have to be very careful because we can end up oversimplifying it. So what we're going to try to do is very carefully figure out what exactly is wrong with Avodah Zarah. I know that sounds like a simple question, but it really isn't. And that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. So I put here, yeah, Max.
I thought it was like an open-ended.
There you go.
It
okay.
Is, or
yeah, fine, go. Well, sure, meaning this is just going to keep going back. So you'll say it looks like you believe in other gods. Okay, well, why is that us, sir?
Because you're denying God's one supreme.
Okay, so, right. So now those are sort
you're
of...
You're denying the Abrahamic truths that were given to
right, so those are a little bit different, right? Those are slightly different points. They're related, right? One is, right, I mean, if we encapsulate what you both said, right? Right, Max focused on the fact that what's wrong with Avodah Zarah? You're denying God, right?
Denying His presence.
You're denying the truth of God, His presence, His oneness, right? We could have all types of formulations, right? That's one formulation. What was the other formulation?
You're accepting that there are other
right, meaning, right? Now, you see why those are different, right?
Yeah.
They're related, right? Saying that it denies God or it orients worship outside of God, those are two different things.
Don't have to accept God, but you cannot accept any God.
Correct. Right? You could do one without the other, right? They're not necessarily the same thing. So, the Torah, I don't have to tell you, the Torah prohibited idol worship in many places. Yes, it does it in the Esaret Hadibrot. It does it elsewhere. And it is not just prohibited for Jews, it's also prohibited for non-Jews. Right? What are the seven Noahide laws?
All
right, then Sheva Mitzvah Menach.
It's basically all of them.
Seven.
It's basically all of them. Keeping Shabbos.
No, very much on Shabbos.
All of them, but keeping Shabbos.
No, there's only seven.
I said all of them is every one of them except, excluding keeping Shabbos.
Every one of what? Of the Asarat Dibrot?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Excluding keeping Shabbos.
What are the seven people? Seven, yeah.
No stealing, no killing, that's too ready.
No jealousy.
So for the most part, there is an easy way of remembering it along the Aleph way is yes. So Aleph is?
Evrim and Achai,
right? They can't eat from live animals. Bet is?
Bracha, what's it called?
Birkat Hashem, right, is blasphemy, right? Cursing God, but we use the Lashon Saginar, right? We use euphemistically, we say bet, right? Gimel is Gezel. Or Gilead, Riot, whichever one you want, right? There are different ways of doing this,
yeah.
Right? But yes.
Dom
now, Dinim, right? They need to set up court systems. Hey is Hereg, let's say. They can't kill.
Oh,
right?
No one ever did Alphys Gimel Dom. Hey,
right. Vav.
Alphys Gimel Dom plus three.
Oh, no. Hey is Hereg. Vav. One of them is always not going to work. right? So if Gimel is Gezel, so then Zayin can be Znuot, right? Which is any all the immorality laws, right? And Vav is the one that's a bit shaky. Then do you have Zara? What? Well, Gilead Riot's note, same thing, right?
Oh,
you,
it's just,
if you want to remember it, it's easy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? If you put Gimel as Gezel and you can put Zion as note, you can always play with it. But that's the seven, okay? That's the seven. There is a Machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There might be some more. Maybe Kilayim, maybe some others. Now, what? So that they play with, Avodah Zarah. You just got to do like Ayin Beis and then you do the Vav and whatever. That's how I learned it when I was in seventh grade. But seven, six out of seven work, okay? Fine. So those are the seven Noahide laws. Now, one of them is Avodah Zarah. Now, the truth is, we should be clear that that's a little bit unfair because Gilui Arayot, if we say that illicit relationships are prohibited for non-Jews and we put that as one prohibition, how many Arayot are there for Jews? How many mitzvot do we have that relate to illicit relationships for Jews? No, for Jews. A lot, right? Adultery, right? Then all the incest laws, mother, sister, daughter, daughter-in-law, wife's sister, brother's wife, right? Right? We can just keep going, right? We can just, not step. Step is fine, right? Step is fine.
Step siblings you can't touch.
Right? Step siblings you could marry, right? Not half, right? Obviously. Step, right? Step, step.
It's kind of awkward.
Okay, fine, but I'm just saying, in terms of a formal prohibition, right, mother-in-law, right, there's many different prohibitions. All of those, and then there's obviously, then there's bestiality, homosexuality, right, there's other ones, right, we can keep going down the list. Non-Jews are prohibited in right, I won't say all of those, because it's a bit complicated which of those they are, but most of those, but we call it one. Right? And this is a point that the Chinuch makes in Mitzvah Taftat Zayin, that when we talk about mitzvot, one second, mitzvot for Jews tend to mean individual laws. The Sheva mitzvot in Noach are not actually laws, they're more principles.
It's like a pass bill.
Right? They're principles, right? Like, what?
It's like a pass bill, of course. Or,
I don't know. I mean, it just means that they're headings, right? Because there's a lot of things that go under them, right? Especially dinim, right? According, dinim is very, I mean, maybe we'll do this at some
very
point.
Vague.
It's very vague, and it depends what it means. Right? According to the Rambam, it just means set up a court system to enforce the other six. Right? The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perek Tet Halacha Yud Daled says that dinim is non-Jews are obligated to set up courts to enforce the other six. The Ramban says not that way. Right? The Ramban says no. Dinim means that in addition to the other six laws, they have to set up an entire monetary system. And the Ramban in Simin Yud in his Chuvot says that it's basically to set up our monetary system, like Choshen Mishpat. So that would give them a lot more laws. But they got all seven mitzvot, one of which is Avodah Zarah. Yeah, Danny.
No, my question is it true that the Rambam says when women are, I mean, homosexual women, I mean, it's not really, it means more issue to be a homosexual man than
correct.
A homosexual woman, because a homosexual woman is more like a sort of rebellion.
Because there's less of a physical act.
True or not?
Yes, the Rambam does say that, right? The Rambam does say that, right? Nasha, what he calls Nasha Meselulot, right, is wrong, is Asur, it's the Sifra, right? The Midrash Halacha says it's Asur, but it's not, right, it doesn't carry the death penalty, it's different, yes.
But regarding our sugya.
But that doesn't relate to our sugya, but yes. Correct, but yes, yes. So now, what? Yes. Let's try to keep it together, right? For the record, during the year, as we go through things, I will try to, you know, sneak in Yediot Klali out if they come up. But there's, you know, there has to be a limit to how much far we go. We can decide that we'll take one day a week or one day every 2 weeks, where we just take up random issues that came up that you're interested in. But in general, we should try it out. Yeah. But it was important, okay?
It's really good for that. If
what?
You have an idea,
yes.
Question.
So anyways, the Sheva Mitzvah Bein Noach, but one of them is Avodah Zarah, okay? Now, the problem is that the prohibition for Jews and non-Jews is not identical, okay? But before we see what that is, I want you to keep in mind what you said before. And I put two psukim here about why Avodah Zarah is usher. And I want you to read that pasuk carefully, and I want you to tell me what, according to that pasuk, is wrong about Avodah Zarah. So, Max, why don't you take the first one? Right, number one here.
I think it might have been the wrong one.
Yeah.
That's the downstairs.
Okay. the Baruch Shemans for a second. Right, so the first pasuk.
Lo tishtachave
lohem.
Lo tivodim.
Ta'avdeim. So what does that mean? Right, don't.
No, it's just what we discussed.
Yeah, so don't bow to them and
don't worship them.
And don't worship them. Good. Stop there for a second. Just those words. What is the problem with idolatry?
Idolatry. You can't worship them.
Either. Why?
Because you're denying.
No, just those words.
Why?
I don't. It says you can't bow to worship.
Yeah, that's it, right? There's nothing more complicated. It's lo tishtachave Elohim, lo tovdeim. Don't worship them. I mean, the problem is that worshiping them is a problem, right? It's like tautological, right? It's definitional. Don't worship them because you can't worship them, right? What about number two, right? Then the pasuk continues, Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha el kana poked avon avod al banim al shilashim v'arabim lo sonai, right? Why don't you take pasuk number two? Number
two. Can I go
downstairs? Yeah. Yeah. Number two. Yep. Number two, yeah?
Chof Beis,
it's a typo. It's Chof Beis Yud Tes, not test, but fine.
Okay.
Zoveyach. No, please do not say Elohim. That is very wrong. It's talking about idols. Talking about idols, so no. Zoveyach li Elohim. Yochoram. Okay. No, I didn't give you the translation.
I think I know, I'm not sure. It's not to.
It's Zoveach is to.
Slaughter.
To, right, slaughter or sacrifice. Le'elohim.
To the gods.
Gods. Yochoram. Right? Shall be destroyed. Bilti.
What do you mean? As destroyed as what?
Let's not get into all the context there, but Yocharam, let's, okay? Bilti, besides for, right? Or only? Lashem levadel. Now, according to this pasuk, right? Only for God. According to this pasuk, what's the problem with the Avodah Zarah?
You can't give any sacrifice to others.
Why?
Other gods.
Why?
You're only...
Because you do that already by Kabbalah, so it's the way of worshiping. You're not allowed to worship.
Bilti.
It's like the base of Migdal.
Or okay, so let's push it. Bilti Lashem Levado. What's the problem?
Because it's not to Hashem.
No, because you're not doing it to Hashem.
Yeah.
But there's a subtle difference between what I just said, right? Right.
One is
don't worship idols because that's bad.
The other is
don't worship idols because you should be worshiping God,
yeah.
Right? Those are closely related, but they're not actually the same thing, right? They're not actually the same thing. So let's pick your minds a bit conceptually first, okay? What is the difference between those? What's the difference between, or say differently. If you say it's bad to worship idols and therefore you shouldn't do it, does that need any justification? No, not really, right? It doesn't need any justification, right? Meaning, if it's bad to worship idols, you shouldn't do it, right? That's easy. But why is it, if you then say no, it's not just that it's bad. It's bad because, bilti l'ashem levado, because you should be worshiping God. What does that assume? Be very careful here. What does that assume? Right? If you say, Zoveach l'Elohim Yochoram, Bilti l'Hashem levado, right? Don't, right? You'll be destroyed if you worship idols, because Bilti l'Hashem levado, meaning anyone who worships anything but God, right? We have to be very careful here because we're going to jump over it, right? We're going to skip over it. It's a problem. Why? Why is it a problem to worship? Why is it a problem, according to this pasuk, to worship idols?
Because you're not worshiping
God. What does that imply? Right? Let's spell it out. There's a logical assumption that's almost obvious, but you didn't spell it out.
That you're worshiping something.
That you?
You're rejecting him.
Nope. That you should be worshiping God. Right? Meaning you have to articulate every assumption. Right? It's don't worship idols, because you should be worship, right? Because it's replacing God, but that implies you should be worshiping God, which means, right, that there's a pre-existing relationship, right, a pre-existing obligation that's functioning in the background, right, that provides the context for that pasuk. Okay? So now, put that on the side for a moment. Now I want to get into the nitty-gritty for a second. Okay? Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So let's go to number three. What does it mean to worship idols? Right? What does it even mean? Right? We said don't worship idols, but practically, right? What does it mean? That's like saying keep Shabbos. What does it mean to keep Shabbos? Right? The Idar Zil Gemor. Right? 39 Malachot, all the Toladot, right? All the subsidiary prohibitions, all the rabbinic prohibitions, go on forever. It's very easy to say keep Shabbos, right? But what does it mean? So if it deserves the same way, what does it mean? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells you as follows. Shimon, why don't you start us off on the Gemara?
From
the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah and Gemara.
Mizabeach.
Right? These are verbs. Good. So what are the classic ways to worshiping idols? One second, Danny. Just translate the words. Yeah.
One is by obey, doing.
Right, so worship. But what, now, it leaves it ambiguous, and that's what Gemara gets to. Okay.
One is using
mizbeah. Right, it's a karban, right? It's bringing a sacrifice.
Is ketores.
Right, incense, good.
Masek is libations.
Good.
Shtakaveh is bowing. And then Mekiblu is just accepting it.
Yep, but Mekablo love Leloa, accepting it as a god, but Omer lo Eliata, saying you are my god.
Right.
Okay? Those are the capital offenses of Avodah Zarah. Come on, stay awake. Yeah? No. Yeah?
Hamagafef, Vahame Nashe, Vahame Kabet, Vahame Merabats.
Merabates.
What?
Hamerabates.
Hamerabates. Vahamerabates. Vahasak.
Right.
So, even if you are, what's
Megafe, if you hug, you kiss, you clean, you rinse, right?
Anything.
Right? You anoint, you clothe, or you put on shoes, right?
Over,
all these different honorifics on Avodah Zarah.
Over below sase, you're over below sase.
Right, meaning it's a regular run-of-the-mill prohibition, you don't get the death penalty. Right? But it's forbidden. Right? Meaning it's just a lo sase. Right? It's only a regular prohibition. Right? It's not death penalty. Yes, Dad?
No.
Okay, fine. Then he says, and I know there bishmo, but makayim bishmo over lo tase. Right? If you vow in its name, right? You affirm in its name. What?
Vow is to be crazy?
No, vow is to make a promise.
Okay.
Right? I swear by the name of X God.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Over below sase, hapar, atmal bapar, you do what you know to do by Zuhi avodasa, this is the avoda hazarik, evan lamer kulis, zuhi avodasa, if you throw a rock at your kulis, this is, it's like avoda.
Good.
What it does.
Okay. So then the Gemara says there's a problem, right? The Mishnah has a textual issue, right? Which is, most of the Mishnah is highly specific. Right, most of the Mishnah is highly specific. It tells you how you worship. Bow, sacrifice, bring libations, incense, etc. But the first word in the Mishnah is...
Oh,
it's Ovid. Worship.
Incense.
Once again, incense.
What?
A vague word.
Incense is ketoret. Is spices, right? Bringing spices. Smell good. Exactly, yes. Yeah, a lot of religions still do this, right? You put sweet smelling spices and you light a fire and it goes up in smoke. Okay, so what's the problem? Oved is a... What does it mean, right? Meaning the rest of the Mishnah tells you all these specific ways that you worship idols. But the word Oved is ambiguous, so what does the Gemara say?
Gemara says...
My Echad Oved,
I'm Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah said...
What?
You said that
Yeah, so what does it say? What's Ovid?
I'm reviewing a review, says Hakkama, this is what it is. Ephod Ovid Kedarka, Ephod Mithaham Zabeach, Ephod Mikater, Ephod Amanasi, Ephod Mishtakava, Philo Shalok Kedarka.
Okay, good.
So that kind of just went through a large.
So what does he say?
Ephod Ovid Kedarka, Ephod. So it's saying.
So Ovid is Kedarka. What's Kedarka?
In the way that you are one would be like supposed to be Ovid that
moment. Exactly, right? Kederach Shela. In its way that it's normally worshipped. Right? So if Marcolis is worshipped with the rock thing, so the rock thing. Right? So Ovid is whatever way the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped. And the other four are Shelo Kedarka.
Right?
Are not the normal way of worshipping. So you're liable for that as well. Okay? What? No, we don't know what the word means. Right? So the Gemara clarifies, what does the word mean? The word means, Ovid means when you worship it in the way it's normally worshipped. Right? So there's two ways that you can worship an idol. One is called Kedarka, one is called Shelo Kedarka. Kedarka means in the normal way that it's worshipped, and Shelo Kedarka means not in the normal way it's worshipped. Now, not in the normal way it's worshipped, which is Mishtachaveh, Minaseh, Mikater, Zabeah, right? Bringing a carbon, bringing incense, bowing, saying you're my God, right? What? So, let's put it this way. I understand. I get it. If an idol is normally worshipped in whatever way it's worshipped, and you do that thing, right? You normally pile up rocks, and now you pile up rocks. So I get it. Right? You fit into the rubric, you worshipped, done.
Right.
That makes sense. In why is it considered worshipping Avodah Zarah? Yosef, why is it considered worshipping Avodah Zarah if you bow to an Avodah Zarah? Let's say you have an idol that the way you worship it is by piling up rocks. Okay. So why, if you bow to it, is it considered worship at all? The Gemara calls it Shelo Kedarka. Right, Shelo Kederech, not the normal way of worshipping. And so why is it called worship? What? So what? If your intentions were to serve the idol, and you jumped around the idol, that would be nothing. Doesn't matter, it'd be meaningless.
Why?
Because it's neither Kedarka or Shelo Kederech. That's what I'm trying to push you at. Why is this true? Right? If an idol is normally worshipped by dancing, let's say. So fine, you dance for it. You violate Avodah Zarah. But if you sing to it, it's nothing. But if you bow to it, it's Avodah Zarah.
But it doesn't make sense. In your mind, that's usurped.
Doesn't matter.
Even if bowing, wait, time out. It's Avodah Zarah if you bow to it, even if bowing is...
Correct. Correct. Even if it's Zakadarka, it's called Shelo Kederech. It's called Shelo Kederech. So tell me, what is the common denominator? Right, this is not a guessing game. But, right, why? What is the common denominator between those four? Mizabeach, Mishtachaveh, Mikater, Minaseich.
These are all things that we do.
Where?
In the Beis
HaMikdash. They're all things that we do in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, let's try to formulate this, okay? The Gemara tells you there are two ways to worship idols. One is Kedarka, which is the normal way of worshipping it. And the other way are Mishtachaveh, Minaseich, Mikater, Mizabeach, which are the four avodot which are done in the Beis HaMikdash. So now tell me, okay, so why are both of those considered avodah? Yeah.
So you mean as a sort of praising, you're just allowed to praise at the idol, but not like the same source of form that you do in the Beis HaMikdash? That's what you meant, or?
No. Right? So the Gemara says, right, the Gemara says there's two ways of worshipping an idol, mm-hmm. for which you'd be liable to death penalty. Yeah. Right? One is the normal way that this idol is worshipped. Right?
What's again liable?
Obligated.
Okay.
Right? Chayav. Right? You'd be punished, put it to death. Right? So one is the normal way that this idol is worshipped. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever it is. Right? If it's piling on rocks, piling on rocks. If it's defecating, it's defecating. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever it's going to be. Right? If it's dancing around in a circle, it's dancing around in a circle. Yeah. But let's say you have an Avodah Zarah. The way you worship it is you dance around it. But you go and you bow to it. The Gemara says you're liable. Even though that's not called worship.
Like I said, that sort of thing you could also do in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but that's where it comes from. Yeah. Good. So why? So let's analyze both of these. Why is it usher to worship in Avodah Zarah Kedarka?
that's worshiping Avodah Zarah.
Because that's worshiping Avodah Zarah. How do I know? That's what that's what it said. Ha'oved is kedarka. When I say worship, what I normally mean is
you're worshiping
it. Worshiping in the way it gets worshipped, however that is. Right? Why? So that's easy. It's easy to explain why, if an idol is worshipped by dancing around in a circle, I'm not allowed to dance around the idol in a circle because I'm worshipping it. But why am I not allowed to bow to an idol? Let's say I would go into a temple.
But you gave me the answer.
You gave it
one is more aligned with.
Well, hold it. But first, let's.
You gave already the answer without knowing.
No, without knowing. I know exactly what I was doing. I was knew it exactly what I was doing. But wait. First, let's just structurally, right? First, let's. Good. So, why is that making an avoda? So what? First, just give me easy English words.
Now you're not bound to God.
Hold off that thought for a minute, right? So there are two ways to understand it, right? Let's take a very simple way, and then we're going to come back to what I just said. Yes, I gave it away on purpose. Of course I gave it away on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
Right? But one way, so the easy way, right, and this would be punting, but one easy way is to say, well, there's two ways to worship Avodah Zarah. One is subjective and one is objective, right? That's an easy way. That's a way of punting.
One is how you want to do it, and the other one's how.
No, one is the way it's normally worshipped, and one is in ones that are recognized by God. So each idol has its own subjective preferences, so to speak. That's subjective worship. And then there are certain key ones that are always registered as called service, right? But that would be punting, right? Because that doesn't really explain what's going on. It just describes it. There are four objective avodot, and then each one has its own subjective. That would just be descriptive. Yeah, their own thing, right? Each has mishalo, and then whatever, right? You know, it's like, whatever, I'm going to think of a mashal, right? Right? I mean, look, like the mashal. Look, most countries, right, you can get, if you're a citizen, right, you prove your citizenship, right, when you come to the border with a passport, right? That's just like the objective thing. Everyone has a passport, right? Certain countries have their own shtick, right? If you're going from America to Canada, right, so you can do Nexus, right? You can do Nexus, you can do your health card, right? You could use your driver license, right? There's the objective. There's the gold standard of proof, right? Passport, and then there's subjective. So Avodah Zarah is the same way. There's the gold standard of Avodah, right? Bowing and sacrificing, and then there's each one has its own thing, but that really punts.
Punts what?
What? Right? Meaning, but that really, right? Meaning that's giving up on really getting to the heart of this issue, which is okay. That's very nice. So there's objective ways and subjective ways.
You're trying to say it's cool. So well, what about those four objective ways?
Right? Why is it usher? Right? Meaning, so I can say they're objective worship, right? Okay, fine. Let's leave the word pun, right? It's escaping, right? You're begging the question, right? You're begging the real issue, right? You're avoiding the real issue, which is not, right, describe to me the different types of avodah, the different ways to violate avodah zarah. It's what is actually going on? What are you doing, right? Why is it us, sir? So, you're right. I already gave it away because, right, I mean, If you noticed, right, the psukim, right, if you noticed, I took psukim that are from this Gemara, right?
I mean, also the way we've just explained the psukim is the exact same way we're explaining
yes.
You'll be able to mash them together easily.
See, I put these guiding questions here in such a way to try to get you to the answers as we go through them. That's the goal, right? But now, yes, let's take the model we had before, right? Let's take the model we had before for a second, right? We noted that there really are two potential problems with worshiping an idol. One is what you have in Shmot Chaf Pasuk Hey, which is Lo Tishtachav Elohim, don't bow them. Lo Tavdeng, don't worship them. Right, so there.
That means even Lo Kedarka.
No, that means Kedarka. Meaning Lo Tavdeng. Tavdeng. What does the Mishnah say? Tavdeng is Kedarka. Don't worship idols. It's bad. The other pasuk says no. Zoveach leElohim yocharam bilti ladonai levado. Right? Only I will often, if I'm saying all pasuk, use Shem Hashem. There are reasons for that. Another time. Right? Big adol, you probably should do that, but I'm not going to force you to do it. Ramosha Feinstein entertains the possibility that it's usher to say a pasuk without Shem Hashem when you say the whole pasuk, right? Because it might be violating an isser of kol pasuk lo paski Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinan. Anyways, the other aspect is bilti la Hashem levado, that worship should be oriented towards God, right? So when you take the avodot that are meant to be in the Beis Hamikdash and you do it to somebody else,
even if it's Shelo Kedarka,
Shelo Kedarka, it's still avodah zara. But why? Now, or
because you should be doing those to God, for God.
Correct. Or let me take it even. Let's do this very very. Let's be very very. Let's break our teeth over two words right now. Avodah zara. Right? Avodah zara. What does it mean? The word, simple mean. Avodah?
Avodah is an avodah that you do.
Avodah is service, right?
Service, yeah.
And what's zara? Strange or foreign. Strange, foreign, weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are two ways of translating that. Right? Avodah.
Service.
Work.
Lizar.
To
us. To. Right? Service of that which is strange or?
Strange service.
Or strange service. Mm-hmm. Right? Both of them are included in it. Right? Avodah zara can either mean avodah lizara. Right? Worship of.
Letter,
what?
I don't like that. That's just adding a letter.
No, but that what does it mean? Right? Avodah of. Right? I'm just saying in Hebrew.
Okay,
right?
Fine.
Avodah zara could mean strange worship or worship of the strange.
Okay.
Right? Those are two right ways of sort of capturing it. So Rav Lichtenstein argued, right, that right, it's not just that it's objective versus subjective. The two ways that the Gemara thinks you can violate avodah zara are either kidarka, which is you're worshipping idols. You're actually worshipping them, or by the misappropriating. Right? The avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it's a treason against God. Okay? And if you follow the Gemara, you'll see that the Gemara seems to bear this out. So if we continue in the Gemara says, so then the Gemara tries to get into the specifics, right? So the Gemara had said, Lechashiv nam yizorek, so why don't you also include as one of the avodah sprinkling of the blood? So the Gemara says, don't worry about that. Amar Abaye zorek hainu menasech. Right, sprinkling blood is a subcategory of libation. Okay. Minani mili. So how do we know this is true? So the Gemara says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. You reading with me? I know you haven't seen this in Seder, some of you, so let's try to follow with me here. Okay, it's a bit hard. Minani mili. Got it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. 5 lines down, four words before the end of the line, okay? 5 words rather. Minani mili. Right, how do we know all of this? Titana Rabbana. Ilu ne'emar zoveach yocharam. If it had simply said, one who sacrificed shall be destroyed, hayiti omer bizoveach kodshim b'chutz hakosu medaber. I might have thought that this isn't talking about idolatry. It's talking about one who worship, who brings a karban for God outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Lomar Lelohim. But it says no. Zoveach Lelohim Yocharam. Right? That it's not talking about sacrificing outside the Beis HaMikdash, which we call in Hebrew Shchutei Chutz. There's a separate prohibition called Shchutei Chutz, which means right, bringing a korban to God outside the Beis HaMikdash when you shouldn't. That's Shchutei Chutz. That's also Asur.
So, you serve another god with a carbon.
Right. But now, let's be very careful. What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, Zoveach Yocharam could have meant that what's Asur? Shchutei Chutz. What's wrong with Shchutei Chutz? Why aren't you allowed to bring a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash for God? Right? I don't want to get into when you can, sometimes you can under Bama, but in a case when you can, why aren't you allowed to bring a carbon for God outside the Beis HaMikdash? Danny, yeah?
Because these sorts of deeds, what you do, and you do you put it in the Mishkan, and you do all these, these practical stuff, you do it in these sorts of ways. And when you do that, you in our thoughts, you disrespect the ways how you were taught in the base.
Exactly, right? Even though you're bringing it for God, right? You're bringing it for God. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be done in the base of Mikdash. Yeah. So you're serving God in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also a practical reason.
There, for sure, there are practical reasons, right?
If we look at history, the last time that we served, the last time that the Romans served outside Jerusalem and Israel
served Jewish nations. So it's a bit more complicated than that, because under certain circumstances you're allowed to bring outside the base of Mikdash, but you're right that the creation of alternate areas of service in Malchut Yisrael, right, part and parcel of the division of the Jews into two. Yes, that is definitely true, and it points to this. But the Gemara says, at some level, there is a comparison between Shchut Echutz, right, bringing carbon outside of Beis Hamikdash for God, to Zoveach Leelohim Yachara, bringing a carbon to a foreign god. Now, in what way are they similar? Such that, right, the pasuk.
Both need a sacrifice.
Because both of them are doing what?
Even though
they're both.
Though that you do it before, I mean, as you did before, you're doing it outside, then even disrespect anything. But even though that you do it for another god, it's also another.
Exactly. Right. Exactly, right? What the Gemara seems to be pointing to is that bringing carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash is a misappropriation, even if it's for God. But if you bring a carbon to a foreign god, to an idol, that's even worse. But what's the nature of the problem? The nature of the problem is that it's a misappropriation.
Yeah.
Right? To misuse, exactly. Right? Misusing service towards God. What do you mean? What are they getting at?
The whole
Well, that's the point, right?
No, I get it.
Oh, okay. So that's what we're trying to figure out, right? So the Gemara says, So Talmud Lomer Leilohim b'zoveach lavodes kochavim akosiv midaber. The pasuk is talking about when you're worshiping an idol. And then the Gemara says, fine, Ein li'ela b'zoveach, mekater, menasech, minayin. So I know that it's usher to sacrifice. How do I know it's usher to bring incense, or it's usher to bring a libation? Talmud Lomar, bilti l'Hashem levado, rikein ha'avodos kulon l'shem ha'myuchad. The Torah says, so the Gemara says, because the pasuk says, only to God. And the Gemara says, what does only to God imply? Rikein ha'avodot kulon l'shem ha'myuchad. We emptied it out. Anything that you're supposed to do for God, you can't do for an idol. Right? You can't do for an idol. Lefi sheyatza zvichali don bavodat pnim. Right? Because the halach of zvicha, of bringing a karban, was specified by itself to teach you about the other avodot pnim, the other avodot that are done pnim. What's pnim? Inside. Right? Lifnim. Minayin the rabot hashtachava. How do you know it's also prohibited to bow? Talmud Lomar vayelech layavod elohim acherim vayishtachavu lohem. V'samich levotzeitza zayishahu v'gomer. Because elsewhere in Dvarim it says they bow to foreign idols and you killed him. Okay. Onesh shamanu azhara minayin. Right, the pasuk says, don't bow to foreign gods. And the next pasuk says, and you killed them. Right, you kill someone who worships foreign idols. Okay? And the Gemara goes through a little bit more, but that's probably enough for right now. So you look at the Gemara, you read it carefully, right? The Gemara seems to be highlighting the fact that there are these two levels, right? One level of idolatry is usur because, kidarka is usur because it is worship in an objective sense, right? In an absolute sense of the idol. Sometimes, like if I bow to an idol, it's not usur because I'm worshiping it. I might not be. Right, maybe for all I know, this right idol, they don't like bowing. Right, bowing is considered disrespectful, but I'm doing it. It's still avodah zarah. Why?
Because it's a way how you used to do it.
Right, exactly. Because bilti l'Hashem levado, it's a misappropriation of what I'm supposed to be doing for God. But okay.
Very interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Good. But then the Gemara tells us something fascinating. The next Gemara in Nun Vav tells you
about in
What? Yeah, and Daf Nunvav. No, in Sanhedrin. That's source four. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nunvav and Beis, continues and says.
So are you going to say that according to the Manda Amar who says that Avodas Kachavim and Mazalos that do Avodas Zara and don't bow are Chayav?
Right.
But Tanya, what we learned in a price, Avodas Kachavim, Devarim, Shebein, this is Vatanya, Avodas Kachavim.
Right, Vatanya, right?
You learned in a price, Avodas Kachavim, Devarim, Shebein, Shebezin, Shel Yisrael, Mamitin, Alehen, Benoah, Musar, Alehen, Ain Bezin Shal Yisrael.
Misnalayan.
Ain Ben Noach Musar Alayan.
Right, so the Brisa says anything that a Jewish court will kill for, non Jews are prohibited from doing.
Okay, so anything a Jewish court will kill for, non Jews are prohibited from killing.
From doing. Right? Meaning anything that's considered forbidden for Jews is forbidden for non Jews.
Anything that would make you chayav misa
as a Jew could potentially make you liable as a non-Jew. Not necessarily, obviously we have more prohibitions, right? But if ein bezin shel Yisrael misnalayan, but if Jews are permitted, meaning it's one way. Jews have more prohibitions, not less. So if something's forbidden for Jews, theoretically it could be forbidden for non-Jews as well. But if something's not forbidden for Jews, it's not really forbidden for non-Jews. Okay? So the Gemara says, what does that exclude? So isn't it excluding an idol worshiper who made an idol but didn't bow? Right? So the Gemara's first attempt in this Gemara was to say, maybe Jews are punished for making idols and non-Jews are only punished for worshiping idols. Okay. That's the Gemara's first attempt.
Lo,
that's not what it is. Right, no, it's a Lemute Gifuf Venishuk. It's coming to exclude hugging and kissing.
Gifuf Venishuk, Demai, Ilema, Demai. So, what does that mean? Demai.
So the Gemara says, in what case are we talking about hugging and kissing?
So what's the case? Ilema, if you say kid.
Kidarka.
Kidarka bar. Barkatolahu.
So the Gemara says, what's the case? If it's an idol which is normally worshipped by hugging and kissing,
then they're considered dead.
Then they're going to be killed.
Ella must be coming to include a case of Shalok Kedarka.
Right? Excluding a case of Shalok Kedarka. Limute. Exclude. Okay, so the Gemara tells you.
Case of Shalok Kedarka.
Good. So the Gemara tells you that what? A non-Jew, mm-hmm. Right? We said, worshipping Avodah Zarah is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. But the Gemara says, under what circumstance is an idol, is a non-Jew forbidden from worshipping idols? Only?
So what's
only
you
what?
You say that people are not allowed to be forbidden.
Thank you, Shimon. Right? Under what circumstances is it a non-Jew?
Yeah.
Right? When does it count as idol worship for a non-Jew? Only if?
Kedarka.
What's again together?
Kedarka, meaning he worships the idol in the normal way it gets worshipped, but not Shalok Kedarka.
We learn that from this Brisa that excludes Shalok Kedarka.
Correct. And because the Brisa excludes.
We don't actually learn from the Brisa, we learn it from
the derivation of it.
It's the Brisa to get us to the point.
Correct.
Okay.
So the Gemara tells you something fascinating, which is, it's true that non-Jews are also prohibited from worshipping idols, but Jews.
Are
Chayev Kedarka or Shalok Kedarka? Meaning, non-Jews, whether they worship the idol in the normal way or they bow to it.
It's also not good.
Right. But for a non-Jew, they're only liable if what? Wait, first answer the question.
They don't worship the right one.
If they do it the right way. They're only liable, they're only obligated if they do it in the right way. What? Right, okay, fine, except.
What do you mean the right way?
Meaning, if the way you worship this idol is by dancing around in a circle, so if a non-Jew dances around in a circle, he's liable. But if he bows, he's not.
What, because it's not the
way so why?
To do it. So, I have another question.
Wait.
At a time.
Why is there a difference between Jews and non-Jews? Why is it different, though?
Because we have more. The thing is, we are more prohibited than this is. Maybe
why?
There's yet they have the.
Because they don't have something else they should be doing.
Good. Because what did we say before?
If you notice, everything is written out on the page.
Yes, I'm bringing you to it. Why? And this is so. This is what
a very, very logical thinking pattern.
Right. I see. The goal of these sheets is to make it that the whatever I say, which is mechudash, by the time I get to it, it's not mechudash. I've already figured out what I'm going to say. That's the goal here of these sheets, right? It's to lead you here. So this is what Rabbi Chaim Sain said, okay? Let me just get out the idea and we'll develop it more tomorrow.
Oh, but what do we mean by non-Jews exactly?
We mean non-Jews. Right. Non-Jews. That's it.
Well,
all non-Jews.
We have a group called Jews. Yeah, that being us.
And everybody else. Everybody else.
So that's even the word non is
without the let me say you have non-Jews and Christian Muslim besides.
I mean everybody.
Are Christians.
There are differences between them for other purposes, but for this purpose, I mean all non-Jews. Okay. Right? So Rav Lichtenstein said, wait a second. If we already see in the earlier Gemara, based on a careful read in the Psukim, that there are two problems to Avodah Zarah. One is that idol worship,
for Jews,
bad.
What you're talking about, Jews right now?
No, just in general. Right? There are two potential reasons why it's usher to worship idols. One is
it's bad.
It's bad. Don't worship idols. Don't. Right? Bad. The other problem is
you can only worship. You have to be serving.
You should be worshiping God.
Yeah.
So Rav Lichtenstein said, "Wait a second. Non-Jews." Can't worship idols. But what does it mean to worship an idol? We already said.
It means you're, well...
Kedarka.
Second possible.
Right? The normal way of worshiping an idol is... However, it's worshipped. But then he said... But then he said, but wait a second.
The way you're supposed to worship it.
He said, but in order for to have the second level of Avodah Zarah, namely, that Avodah Zarah is problematic, not because it's called worship, but because it's considered misappropriation... Right, something can only be considered misappropriation. What, you know what misappropriation means?
Misuse.
Right, but not just misuse. Misuse meaning misappropriation means it's misappropriate. Right, it was meant to be done somewhere else.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Like using the word literally.
Right, it's to reappropriate, to put something that was appropriate somewhere else and do it in a new place. Okay. What does that require? That you should be doing it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So Rav Lichtenstein says,
what do they mean by somewhere else?
Ah, so what does that mean? He said, well, that's only Jews.
Right, they can't.
Because Jews so, have a pre-existing relationship with God, which is defined by what?
Their avodah.
By the fact that we should be doing avodah to God in the Beis HaMikdash. One second.
Okay.
So if we do the arba avodah, right, we do the four avodah to the Beis HaMikdash to an idol...
Not only are we now doing Avodah Zarah, now it's even...
We're reappropriating our relationship from God to an idol. That's Avodah Zarah. But a non-Jew, the Beis HaMikdash isn't his. The Beis HaMikdash isn't where he's meant to be worshiping. So if he bows to an idol, which isn't normally worshipped through bowing, is that misappropriation?
No,
because he wasn't supposed to be bowing to God in the Beis HaMikdash. He can't worship an idol. But there's no treason... Right, there's no
doing that.
Right, there's no right. It's no right. Or to give a mashal, right? I'll give his mashal, right? And we'll come back to this. We're going to develop it more tomorrow. Okay, let's take and you'll see why I take this mashal, right? Adultery, okay?
Adultery.
Okay. Right? If someone sleeps with someone else's spouse, right? That is objectively that's adultery. That's what it means, right? Let's say, right, that a woman goes out for coffee with another man. Is that a violation of their relationship?
No,
right? It's not. What happens if this particular husband and wife, right?
Have a coffee date that they do every Wednesday.
Correct. Every Wednesday they go out for coffee.
It's not really.
And she said, today.
Another woman, yeah. It'd be like a
right? And she says to her husband one day, you know, I'm really not feeling well. You know, I'm just going to go home and go to sleep. And she sneaks out and goes and has coffee with another man. Right?
Yeah, but...
Then, it's not adultery, but is it a violation of the relationship?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, why?
Misappropriation.
It's misappropriation. It's Wednesday night. Yeah, you're supposed to be having coffee with your husband. You went out with someone else.
Yeah,
right? So Rav Lichtenstein said, that's what Avodah Zarah is. Right? Kidarka. Avodah Zarah Kidarka is adultery. It's objectively wrong.
Yeah, but maybe
Shelo Kidarka, one second, is misappropriation. It's our thing. We do this together. And you're using it with somebody else.
In other
right?
words, you mean by regenerating.
It's our thing. Yeah. It's our thing.
In other words, you mean regenerating the energy that they use.
Did you?
That and
exactly.
But about the thing about dating doesn't mean, I mean about the coffee thing it doesn't maybe she has a better relationship with that
not,
person
let's say okay if a non-Jew
than
right.
with the husband but
which is a problem
yeah, a problem.
Which is a problem baby. Okay good so tomorrow we're going to continue developing this
doesn't matter.